James chapter 3, we'll begin there in verse number 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. We all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every beast and bird of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not so to be. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct let him show his words in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let's pray just for a moment. Father, we do seek your face this morning. We thank you that we've been able to have this time of worship. Lord, you are worthy of all of our praise. You have done great things. You are a great God. We praise you. We thank you that we've been bought with the precious blood of Christ. We thank you that you did all that it took that we might be saved from sin, from hell. We praise you. We pray that we might walk worthy of our high calling. We ask that you would bless the church this morning and bless our times of fellowship today. May you be glorified in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm looking at this passage, and what I'm going to preach from, I'm sure that this might not sound like a very edifying message this morning, but I think certainly if you weigh what is said, it will be edifying ultimately for the church, because it is important that we do address sin in our midst. As I contemplated this, I did think of Scott's message from Ephesians chapter 4, in particular his part on slander. And I thought it was an excellent exposition of that. And I feel like I would like to look at this portion in particular, keeping in mind the whole chapter, in particular verses 5 and 6, where it talks about the tongue being such a small member, yet it boasts of great things, and that a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and that the tongue is a fire of a world of iniquity, of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and is set on fire by hell. Wow. What words the Lord has as we search the Scriptures concerning the use of our tongue. And considering passages that I looked up in Proverbs that are always deeply searching, I feel like the Lord would have me to address this subject of gossip. In the dictionary, Webster's dictionary says that gossip is a rumor or talk of a personal or sensational nature. Someone who habitually spreads sensational or intimate facts. And it often comes about kind of like, have you heard about such and such? And if the person you're speaking to hasn't heard about whatever it is you'd like to talk about, then bingo. I mean, you're on. You are ready to give the juicy news. And you're ready to share the goods and the facts that you have. And ultimately, we have to confess, though we're all subject to this temptation, what it is basically is the desire to inflate ourselves, often that others might look bad. Now, I did read a number of pieces concerning this, the psychology of this and the results of the dysfunction that causes us to seek after such attention. And I don't want to go into that a lot, but I think each one of us has to realize that there is a real desire to build ourselves up when we're sharing facts about others that we are either sharing out of a wrong motive or we're sharing, although we might say it's that you might pray more intelligently, ha ha. It's really, we know that we're not for sure that we have all the facts. And the Bible is just clear about this, church. What is out in the news today and we're so afraid about it, and we think, oh, you know, this is going to destroy our nation. What's going to happen to the church if we don't stand up against homosexuality and abortion? And of course, we know what the Bible says on all of these things. But listen, far more churches have been destroyed by gossip than by the homosexual movement. And so I'm not going to preach about the big sins, and not all the little sins. We all have plenty to deal with. But in particular, this very evil and insidious sin that we Christians often seem to wink at. You watch the life of your brother and try to find something that you might speak about, and when it occurs that you have something in particular that someone that you're talking about don't know, then you have to examine that and search your own heart and ask, first of all, why? What's behind all this that I really feel good in sharing this information? If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is convicting you at that moment not to say that. I believe that with all my heart. I've experienced it. Yes, I have grieved the Spirit at times, and I've sinned because in my security I thought that sharing this thing would be something that the other person might even praise me about. Well, thank you for telling me about that person. Now, I feel good. The problem, well, there's a number of problems. But first of all, the story as it goes on is never shared the same. Because the other person wants to elaborate enough that he will feel somewhat built up by his good fortune at sharing the news. And so, when I take advantage of this opportunity to build myself up by talking about the personality, the reputation, the actions, perhaps even the looks, or maybe my impressions of someone. Any of these things they do fall under the category of gossip. And the fact is, amongst God's people, we all know, and let's just say it out loud, that gossip should not be part of the Christian life. If I really enjoy gossip, the Bible talks about that, the whisper, the slander. I think Scott shared the root word of that word slander was diabolos. If I remember right, I went ahead and looked it up in several places, and that's where we get our word for the devil, evil. And so this fact that gossip destroys fellowships, and it's kind of the coward's way to bully. It's like, I really don't want to approach my brother because I see a fault in him. I'm not bold enough to do that. But if I go ahead and just, share these facts, I'll be able to kind of push him around a little bit and feel better about myself. Now, we'll never say that. We'll never explain it that way. But that's exactly what it is. The scripture is clear. Is it not? When we have anything against a brother, or something between us and our brother, go to your brother. It's very simple, church. You go to your brother. You leave your gift at the altar. Don't come to worship God. Forget about God will not hear you. So, we need to understand that if we think that we can be a whisperer, a talebearer, a gossip, and this means about anybody, and still have fellowship with God, we are deceiving our own selves. We are participating in something that could actually be the root of that which destroys a local congregation. One time I was working in a title company up in St. Louis. And I didn't like the way that this under-manager was doing his work. He wasn't a Christian. Matter of fact, in the conversation, I was the only one that was a Christian. But I remember particularly some things that he did to me, and I knew that there was nothing I could do about it except approach him and confront him. But I didn't trust him. So I remember being in the bathroom washing my hands and speaking with one of my coworkers and asking, did you believe what so-and-so did? And just said, not some terrible stuff, but some stuff that would just kind of tear down his authority a little bit, at least in the mind of this guy. And I'll never forget when I heard the toilet flush. And it occurred to me, this can't be happening. And I looked in the mirror and saw him come out and basically just hung his head and went out. And it's like, okay, I've done something now. But you know what? Even if he hadn't have been there, I mean, it doesn't matter. If your sister doesn't find out that you were tearing her down, or maybe you just spoke, could you believe what she wore? What evil is it in the flesh that causes us to think that this is okay? Let's be clear, church. Let's be clear with one another. None of this is ever okay for the believer. Another passage Scott shared that came up to me was from Ephesians chapter 4, that we ought to be speaking the truth in love. Well, that talks first about, you know, consider two things. First of all, what is the truthfulness of what you're about to say? Shouldn't it be common? Shouldn't the norm be? Here's the norm. When we as believers fellowship together, we should be asking questions like, how are you and the Lord getting along? How's your walk with the Lord? Anything I can pray for you about? What books are you reading lately that might have helped you? Where are you at spiritually? Has the Lord been doing anything in your life? You know, but these things, and I'm not saying this critically to tear you down, but let's just be honest. I've got to work at it. My natural tendency is just to banter about trivialities. And ultimately, I'm just wasting time. And before long, something newsworthy comes up and my ears perk up. And I'm going to share in just a moment how we should respond to gossip. But first of all, let's just be clear that I need to look at my motives for what I'm doing. It's important that we are sure that our motives are pure. Now, these are things that make up the difference between gossip and appropriate conversation. The truth, and are we speaking in love? Just ask yourself, ask your brother that. Brother, are you speaking in love? And don't fall for this, well, you know, just so you can pray more intelligently. You know. The scripture teaches that these things go down into the innermost parts of the person that we're speaking with. And they take root there. And they affect the outlook and the impression and the judgment of that person in your brother or sister's eyes. And so we have a whole group of people around us that are seen in different lights because of so many of the areas where we have inputted our impressions of these other people into the lives of those that we've spoken to and, unfortunately, and most horribly, before our children. Before our children. This is something, beloved, that we ought to go to war about with ourselves. It's worthy of being thought about with ourselves. We seldom think about the implications for the person that we're gossiping about. You know, we're usually thinking about, I don't know what it is. You know, this has been searching for me. Because I'm going to admit something right now. Don't gossip about this. But I'm going to admit that whenever I get some news, I might have just heard it on the radio, and I go to somebody else that hasn't heard that yet, for some reason, something in my mind thinks, wow. He doesn't know. He's ignorant. I get to tell. Well, let me tell you. And somehow I feel better about it. And then I feel sinful because I'm wondering what is going on in Bob Scandry that delights in such nonsense. This young man down in Florida that was shot made all the news. And I remember I came in the house and for some reason I do this. I guess it's just nonsense. I said, Faith, did you hear? Well, there's a television she could watch, but she didn't hear. And I had to tell her the story of what happened. Little did I know it would become national news. But, you know, that it's occurred to me several times that, you know, when somebody hasn't heard, and in particular, when it has to do with those that we know. The simple but hard truth about it is that we are raising ourselves up by stomping others down. The simple but hard truth is that we are attempting to enhance our own self-image without considering that our brother or sister is going to foot the bill, ultimately. The simple truth is that we are willing to destroy others' reputations and lives simply in order to improve our own standing in our estimation. It really doesn't do anything. The other person just sees you as a gossiper. But we feel good about it, and it's sinful. Well, when is it gossip? Well, when we tell or listen to something uncomplimentary about someone with the attitude of entertainment. So whatever side you're on, you're saying it or you're just listening to it. When someone comes to us and there's, you know, something delighting, something enlightening, we are not telling or listening because we're feeling bad about that person and we really want to pray, we want to help. We want to be entertained at someone else's expense. We want a good laugh over someone else's weakness. Sometimes we just want to be sarcastic and joke about this person's weakness and bring it up. And the more that we pick and the more that we push, the more that we stomp, the better we feel. It's insidious. When we tell or listen in order to build up our own ego, I mean, some people are perverted enough to try to make others feel small in order that they might look big. I mean, look how bad or stupid Joe is over there. You know, look how good or smart I am because I didn't do such a stupid thing. The more gossips talk about others' mistakes and sins, the more they build themselves up. When we tell or listen in order to get revenge, when we've been wrong, the scriptures teach us, again, to go to the person who's done us wrong and make things right. This is Christianity. This is living the Christian life. When something comes up, the first thing we do is go to our brother. The one who gossips would rather get something on that other person. Just dig a little bit. Sometimes we ought to tell the people, hey, you haven't dug deep enough, brother. I can help you dig. There's plenty there. We need to remember that the Bible teaches that God is going to have the last word. And His last word to gossipers will not be pleasant for them to hear. When we say something or listen to something for spite, we don't like some person, so we like to tell or hear about their failures or their problems. Oh, did you hear such and such? Boy, they're really having problems. I wonder why. Just leave it there. Do we want to help them? Are we intending to go to them and say, what can I do to help? How can I pray for you? No. We'd rather spite them. Every chance we get. How many good names have been tarnished because of such malice? This is all it is, guys. It's evil. It's malice. It does not belong amongst the saints. When we tell or listen to something that's not good about others, just to have something to say. Just shut up and go home. That's the best thing you can do. Because you're participating willfully in sin. Some people think that they're just bringing news, and really all they're doing is being nosy. They think they're passing time well, but they're just wasting time, and it's evil, and it's wrong. Well, what does gossip do? Well, just a couple notes on this. Gossip perpetuates lies that ought to have died. Often what you're spreading is simply not true. Somebody said 90% of the time when somebody is spreading a rumor, 90% of it is not true. It's just a lie. And so you're participating in a demonic activity that the father of lies enjoys. Satan loves for the saints to tear one another down. In particular, I wouldn't defend the elders, you know, at this time, but the scripture does say, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. I looked into that passage as I was studying a lot, trying to get to the bottom of it. And there's a number of things there. I'll just share this. Satan's strategy, well, he's no dummy. Tear down the leadership. Tear down the leadership. Start with the leadership. And that's a quicker way to destroy a church. It's just a fact. When you gossip, you assassinate the character of the person that you're talking about and possibly make innocent people suffer. So gossip can destroy the church. And it can do it quickly. And I hope you don't think, what's he talking about? I'm talking about what James is talking about. It's just good teaching. It's important. We should love one another. We're accountable, beloved, for our words. We need to understand that, according to James, a loose tongue equals a useless religion. Proverbs. Man, this verse that, six things the Lord hates. It closes with, he that sows discord amongst the brethren. So, really, this is a big test of Christian maturity. You know, if I can't control my tongue, if I'm a babbling babe that every time I get amongst the saints, that, you know, I've got to say something about someone, or just, I might just keep it to my close friend because I don't want to be known as a gossiper. Well, that's another wrong motive. Just live a holy life. Don't think that just because you're not a homosexual or an adulterer or a murderer, you know, not a real bad sinner. If God has saved you, you should not be living in sin. And the sin of gossip is seen as excusable by a lot of people who consider themselves mature Christians. They know a lot of facts. But they are simply enslaved by this thing of whispering. And telling the juicy stuff on other people or whatever it might be. They're absolutely enslaved. They just can't seem to break free. And it is a deadly poison amongst the church. If you are listening to a gossiper, you and the person gossiping are spreading poison. It is a very evil, ungodly activity. Let's not wink at our sin just because we're not big open sinners. Sometimes the secret evil insidious sins destroy much more. You get somebody that's a big sinner. Let's discipline him out of the church. Well, where would we be if we intended to discipline all gossipers out of the church? We need such help here. When I gossip to you, I plant a negative thought in your mind about someone else. Or maybe I just confirm a suspicion that you're having. Oh, you felt like that too? Well, let me just build a little on your impressions, because I certainly was impressed to feel that way. And we're deceived into thinking that there's actually any reality to it. And it's nothing but the work of Satan in the lives of God's people. It shouldn't be. Even if you argue with me and tell me I'm wrong about someone, my words are still going to linger in your mind and create a little bit of doubt about that person. You might involve a few other people, and before you know it, that's become the majority opinion. And our gossip is like the accepted fact of someone's character. Proverbs 18:8, I like this one, it's so convicting. That the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. I just kept thinking about that and thinking about that introspectively. Wow. I've got to take this word and war against this evil. Gossip is a big deal. Our words sink down into someone else's heart, and suddenly just a few quick words become someone else's reality. And it doesn't have to be that. It could be you're just telling part of the story and leaving vital information out. Remember, I was being considered for a pastor. I pastored First Baptist Church down in Elsinore, and I guess this one person didn't want me to be the pastor, which is, I didn't want to be the pastor unless God wanted me to be the pastor. I'm not seeking to be anywhere unless God wants you there, because if you end up there and God doesn't want you there, you're in for a world of pain. And I've been saved and been a pastor long enough to know that, but he didn't want there. In the First Baptist Church, we had disciplined a few people for just very ungodly lives. And so this deacon in this church calls one of the deacons that we had disciplined out of the church and asked him, you know, does he have any information on Bob? Well, so this deacon brought out, knowing that some of what he would say was true, but in order for it to look good in my life, he'd have to include the whole story. Which, you know, he didn't. I don't know if it's unfortunate or fortunate. Maybe the Lord used it. I don't know. I just have a hard time. If we tell the story and we know not telling the whole story will make this other person look bad, we ought to be deeply convicted. Matter of fact, just speaking gospel on someone is evil and vile. How do we respond? How should we respond? Well, again, on this I'm convicted because I've had to learn this by experience. Because it's just in my nature. When someone starts telling something, my first nature is, tell me more. I want to know the whole story. And, of course, I'm convicted. And then you got to go to that person. And then you might have to go to the other person. Then you got to confess, hello, everybody. I am a whisperer and a gossip and a slanderer. And perhaps that ought to be a more common confession. Because I mean, just being an elder at this church, I've heard plenty myself. And I think we all just be proactive in saying to this person, first of all, write this down. First of all, can I quote you on this? A lot of times when you say that, those that are sharing the gospel will shut up. Can you quote? What does that mean? Can you quote me? Well, it means a lot. Secondly, when someone is gossiping, you can say, you know what I like about that person the most is, you know, fill in the blank. What are some good characteristics about this person? And then you could add, by the way, what is it that you like the most about this person? And the gossiper will get the message pretty quick. Most important thing that you ought to do, and this ought to be our, and it is, I think, the elders' common practice, because we invite people to come to us if they have an issue. We want to be approached. We want to be approachable. But we will ask the person, have you talked to that person? And church, that is your biblical responsibility. When someone comes to you with gossip, you should ask that person, first of all, have you talked to that person about this? Because that's what they need to do. Don't come to act like everything's all right. We don't have fellowship. You're in sin. Go to that person. Make it right. That's in Matthew 18. Go confront that person, not gossip behind their back. So what's the solution here? Well, first of all, the solution is repentance. You know? We repent. We're in sin. Gossiping is sin. But secondly, let me say this. Lighten up. Alright? Everybody, including you, makes mistakes. I'll never forget that when I confessed the sin as a pastor one time, and somebody was all upset. And I said, you sound like my son who, when he turned 11 years old, he found out that I sinned. He's all upset, my dad sins. I thought, how did I possibly portray that? I didn't even try. And this person was all upset because one of the pastors sinned. Hey guys, we fight the same battle as you do. We're just men of flesh. But we have a great God. So lighten up and learn to overlook people's faults. You know? Give them a break. Give them rest. Nobody's perfect. Don't excuse sin. If there's sin, what do? You approach the person about it. We're so quick to overlook our own faults while noticing other people's. But also, you can not only lighten up, you can just stop it. Just stop doing it. Proverbs 26:20 says, for the lack of wood, the fire goes out. Where there's no whisper, quarreling ceases. Just stop it. That's a responsibility. So in closing, just take some devotional time, if you would, to consider, in what situations am I most tempted to gossip? And what am I most tempted to gossip about? Who am I most tempted to gossip about and why? Consider making a confession to that individual and ask them to hold you accountable in this area, because after all, as a believer, you want to live a holy life. If you start to go down the path of gossip and slander, ask them to stop the conversation and to remind you how inappropriate that is for a believer. Don't wink at it. Don't participate in it. Ask yourself, in what situations have I passively stood by as others gossip or slandered other individuals? And then pray and just ask God to give you grace to step up and intervene and speak up when these things start to happen without spreading the gossip. No, confess your sin. Confess the fact that you don't speak up with respect to gossip, and ask someone, perhaps your C group, to hold you accountable. And they say, hey, brethren, we're part of the body of Christ. We must not slander one another. That's, by the way, it's not just for the church. We can't be slanderers. That's not us. And then lastly, how do we respond to being gossiped about? I don't have time to break all these down, but the scriptures teaches that we should respond gently. We should be meek. And when evil is said about us, we should rejoice. We're treated like the world's garbage, like everybody's trash, right up to the present moment is what we learn in the scriptures. And so strive to live a blameless life, and if somebody criticizes you, just let it roll off your back. And just respond lovingly and gently. You have to do it in a respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. So Peter said, so if people speak evil against you, they'll be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. And then last he'll say, let me say, if you're gossiped about, you got to forgive and forgive and forgive 70 times 7. And then just let it go. But be proactive, church, in this. God has saved us. He saved us from a life of sin. We're no longer bound in sin. He set us free. Christ died on the cross for our sin. He rose from the dead, and now He lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And so it grieves us when we yield to sin. We're broken, and we're convicted, and we repent, and then we grow, and we cease to do that. We pursue holiness. We've all sinned. We've all failed. We've all made mistakes. Ought we not also to be growing? This is what we want for Rockport, is for us to be a growing body of believers. There's plenty of childish, immature churches out there that people go to and play games and still with nonsense and all that. And you know, I thank God, as far as we know, we don't have that. But we ought to be on guard for that, lest this evil overtake us also. Well, let's pray together. Well, Father, we are so thankful that You have saved us. Thank You that You've called us to this fellowship. Lord, we desire to walk uprightly. We fear You. We don't take You lightly. We don't take Your children lightly. We know that they are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, beloved children of God. And we want to live like that amongst one another. We want there to be a reality to our relationships. We don't want to fellowship hypocritically, knowing that we have sown seeds of discord and are not repentant or just winking at our sin, and we know it grieves Your Spirit. So Lord, help us to be peacemakers. Help us to confess our sins to one another. Help us to hold one another accountable, to pray for one another, and most of all, to love one another. We ask You to give us a time of loving fellowship today, in Jesus' name. Amen.